Session number 10444.
Monsieur Maloubier, are you full?
Yes. As I said, well, I don't suppose that the German there, I didn't watch it anyway. Sending tank loads of trains on this railway line. They couldn't, by road, of course, I mean, whatever they had. I mean, I'm talking about Mackie, bazookas. And Bren guns. Well, they didn't have any cannons, and I don't suppose they could. They could harm, of course, the lorries and trucks and cars and all that, but I don't suppose they did much damage to tanks. Whatever the heavy tanks the Germans had by that time. The Panthers, no. So anyway, it took, I don't know, I don't remember how long it took the Dutch Reich from Toulouse to reach the Normandy. I believe it's about, what, 1 or 2 weeks.
Can you tell me of any other work that you did with this particular Mackie?
While blowing up bridges. This is some. I remember that once, I mean, when the Dutch Reich attacked the Mackie, that was in July 1944, some SS units, territorials from the Wehrmacht, and they just wanted to get rid of whatever ambushes they had on their flanks. And they just passed through the Mackie, so they attacked the Mackie, sure. They beamed about fighting lasted for about 2 weeks, and there was the one who blew up bridges in front of the Das Reich advance, or whatever you call the SS and the territorials. There were about, I don't know, about 2,000 men. And blew up bridges, up to about 7 a day, I remember. It was a very hectic days. And ambushing the Germans.
What was the German withdrawal like in that particular area of Haute-Vienne?
What?
The German withdrawal, the withdrawal of the German troops. Did they just disappear?
No, there weren't any by that time. You know, they kept to the cities. So there was a German garrison in Limoges, which is the main city of the Haute-Vienne, and maybe in Tulle, in Guéret. Well, the Mackie itself, I mean, they just, from time to time, they raided it with maybe some tanks, and a column of German would raid it, pass through, and then they didn't stay, they couldn't stay anywhere, because they would have been ambushed non-stop if they stayed on. So they wanted to clean up, mop up the Mackie, which they never did, of course, because the Mackie just disappeared, vanished in front of them, and attacked them on the rear.
How did you come to finish your work with SOE in France?
Well, I must say, we liberated Limoges, which is the main city by that time. I mean, once we finished Staunton, I mean, Staunton, Liévert, just managed to get in touch with the General Consul, Swiss General Consul in Limoges by that time, through some go-betweens, which are French people. And he managed to have the head of the German forces, General Gleiniger, a German general, to surrender to him, because the general, of course, the German didn't want to surrender to Mackie people. So that was just before, in 1944, in August 1944, Staunton put his best uniform on. He was a major in the British Army, and he drove down into Limoges with a German pass. He got on to General von Gleiniger, and they managed to talked him into surrendering, and they signed an agreement. And then 2 days later, I was, with by that time I had dropped to me part of the French 4th SAS, and a part of the Prince Obolensky, OG being, you know, the commandos of the OSS, mostly Poles and Swedes. You know that normally, I mean, there have been some what we call interesting intoxication, which has been made by Churchill to convince Hitler that there was going to be a landing in the Baltic states or in Scandinavia. And for this, I mean, some Swedes, mostly Swedes and some Poles, but Scandinavian-speaking Poles were obviously trained in the States. by OSS under the name of OG, which were operational groups. And they were placed under the command of the Colonel Prince Obolensky. And once the landing took place in Normandy, they have no use for these gentlemen, of course. And as they didn't know what to do with them, they just dropped them where they could be of use. And so I had about 30 of these gentlemen drop in OGN. This is it. So I had actually about 60 regular, regular soldiers, yes, parachutists with me. So that was the bulk of my troop, because of course I wasn't being the, by the time, the senior, and Staunton being in charge of the political side, I was in charge of this 60 men, French and American parachutists. And so when the order came, we just drove down from the suburbs into the center of Limoges to receive, have the German officers surrender in the center of town of the Hotel de Paris, or Hotel de la Paix, I don't remember, and so that we could get their swords and their weapons and their pistols and all this and all that. Unfortunately, that when this German general, they toured the German garrison, I mean all the units which were spread around in the city in Limoges, when he got to the SS refused, killed him, and then they escaped. There was quite a lot of fighting inside Limoges by that time. So this is how I finished. When I finished with Limoges, I said, okay, well, that's finished. And then we got sent to Châteauroux, which is about 200, maybe 200 miles up north, you know, because that time you have some units retreating from Royan and Bordeaux, German units. So we ambushed these units. I've been taken prisoner by them. I got wounded, anyway, during one of these ambushes, taken prisoner. But as I was in uniform, I wasn't shot. And they released me. I mean, I traveled in a wave with them. I was their prisoner for about a week until they released me, because they were so short of anything. They were short of medical stores, of doctors and all this. And every night we were ambushed by Mackies, of course. And they had some people killed and wounded and all that. And when we got to a place which is very close to Vichy in the central France, on the Allier River. The Allier is a large, you know, quite a wide river.
Tributary of the Loire.
Which is very close to where I live right now, tributary of the Loire. And then there they've been actually ambushed by two. Well, you know, they have this, what they call the ORA, which is Organe de Résistance de l'Armée, which is the ex-French forces network, which been remodeled with their regular offices and all this in uniform, with stores being dropped from London. And you had about this one or two Moroccan battalions, you know, leftovers since 1942 from the Delattre army and that thing, which were properly armed with machine guns and everything. And they ambushed this German column in such a way that they had, I don't know, they killed about, I don't know how many people and wounded and all this. So the Germans knew that they were trapped. I mean, they couldn't reach Germany anymore. Of course, because by that time, that was in September, the beginning of September 1944, the gap was closed by the forces which had landed on the Mediterranean, on the Côte d'Azur, which had made their junction with the American and French and British forces, I think, somewhere after Paris. You know, that was in September, I should say. Where would they be by that time? Auxerre, eventually, yes, maybe Lyon. So as I was there, their prisoner, they asked me, the German general in charge of the colonel asked me if I could give my word of honor that I would take the wounded people with a convoy of ambulances to the nearest hospital and be sure that they wouldn't be taken by the Maquis and killed or shot or tortured. I said, I'll give my word anyway. So drove through the Allier River, and I got to the Moroccan forces, which are headed by a French colonel. And I took this prisoner to this wounded people to the Moulin Hospital near Vichy. And I must say, during all this retreat as a prisoner, London knew exactly where I was, because every time we actually slept during the day and we drove as far as we could during the night amidst this German column. And every time I got to a village, I just asked the chap to put me in a house while I'm the villager, in the house of a villager. And every time I say, can I get in touch with the head of the resistance in the village. Tell him to send a message to London, the way you'll manage, telling that I'm here, so they could just follow my progress, village after village. And when I got to this, when I was liberated by the German, on the other side of the bridge was a chap I knew very well, a Scott Major. We had been, I don't remember his name, we had been trained together. He was on the other side to welcome me and say, hi, Bob, you're back. I said, yes, I'm back. It was very funny. And then I finished, I went to Paris. I spent about 2-3 months in Paris, then I was there. Got in touch with the Force 136, the first Colonel Carlton Smith. And they were looking for officers, experienced officers, to join Force 136 in the Far East. This is what I did.
As far as your work with SOE in France was concerned, how satisfied do you feel nowadays with what you achieved?
I'm quite satisfied. Quite.